today we get to start a brand new message series I'm excited about called The Pieces of Peace. The Pieces of Peace. This is going to be good. Did you know that in the Old Testament and New Testament combined, the word peace is used, depending on which translation you look at, the word peace is used between 340 and 390 times in Scripture. God must think it's worth talking about. So that's partly why we've called 2018 our year of divine peace, because we believe that God wants us to be out front in this nation, leading the way, not only talking about peace, but cultivating peace in our presence and then being carriers of his peace. So if we're going to do that, we're going to be talking a lot about peace in this year. I don't know about you. Does anybody else besides me feel like they need a little peace in their lives? If you don't, turn on the news for 5 minutes. You'll need it. It's a sure cure to know that you need peace. But even that, honestly, even that I feel like is a gift from the Lord to us, to recognize that peace is not found anywhere else besides in him. It's not found anywhere else. True and lasting peace. So instead of getting overwhelmed with the trouble that I see around me, I look at that and I go, oh, thank you, God, for your reminder that you are the source of peace. In the Hebrew, many of you probably know the word for peace. Anybody know it? Shalom. Absolutely. Shalom. It means completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, quiet, hallelujah, I love quiet, tranquility, I always think of hippie, tranquility, you know, contentment, friendship, lack of war. That's pretty all-encompassing when you think about it. And then in the Greek, the word is eirene, E-I-R-E-N-E, eirene, and that means, this one's a shocker, national tranquility. National tranquility. That almost seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? That's what it means. Harmony. It means security. And this last one kind of surprised me. It literally means assurance of salvation. What? Means there's no fear for lack of, or for punishment. There's no fear of punishment because you're so peaceful in God. You're totally assured of your salvation. There are entire faiths that believe it's wrong to have assurance in your salvation. How sad is that? That you're always off balance, off center. Like, I don't know, I might be saved. I might not be saved. I might not. No. But here's what I also found interesting. Out of the number of times that it talks about peace, there are many times that it talks about God being our peace. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. I love that one from Romans. It talks about God being our peace. He is our peace, right? But then there are a number of times, I don't have the percentage because that would have taken a very long time to go through 390 uses of the word peace to figure it out. But there was a significant percentage of times that when peace was talked about, it was talking about our part in cultivating peace. It's not all 100% on God. It's like this, okay? If I said to my three boys, whom I love so much, if I texted them or called them and said, hey, I just got blessed unexpectedly and I want to give each of you $1,000, just go down to my bank and give them your name and you're going to get $1,000. Now, how many of them would be going, she can't tell me what to do? Why does it always have to be about rules with her? I have to go to the bank. What's that about? No, they would be beating their path to get to the bank, right? Peace is kind of like that. God has given us a major deposit of peace, and then he says, here's your part. And it's not a rule, and it's not a have to. It's just, here's how to access it, right? Many of us are familiar with the passage in Matthew 5:9 that says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I found it this week in the Amplified version that I wanted to share with you because it's so, so good. Here it is. You might want to write this down or reference it so you can write it down later. Blessed. Blessed means spiritually calm with life joy in God's favor. Do you not love that definition of blessed? Wow. Spiritually calm with life joy in God's favor. Okay, that's what blessed means. Are the makers and maintainers of peace. Now think about that phrase. Are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will express his character and be called the sons of God. Another translation says they will be recognized as children of God. In other words, our ability to carry peace, to live in peace, to exude peace. Anybody ever, when you eat a lot of garlic, the next day you sweat the odor of garlic? That's what peace is supposed to be like, only really pleasant. It doesn't bother me actually at all. I like the smell of garlic. Garlic and onions, bring it. I love the smell of it, right? As believers, we're supposed to exude peace. We're supposed to have the fragrance of peace. But here's what we need to understand. The name of my message today is intentionality. There is a measure of intentionality involved in peace that doesn't just drop like a cloud over you. It doesn't just happen. Years ago, I had a friend of a friend who would come to my house. And every time he would come in the door, within 10 minutes of coming in the door, he would be like, this place, your house is always so peaceful. Now, I lived in two or three different houses in the time that I knew him. And no, it wasn't the house itself. He would always say, you have so much peace here. And I wanted to say, that didn't just happen by itself. Now, God, like I said, I'm not trying to take away from any part. God has it. But there is an intentionality that we have to cooperate with him. We have to take it to the bank and cash it. We have a part. We get to participate. I love that God created us with a will. He didn't take away our will. He says, you have a part in this. Here's your part. Okay? So I'm going to talk today about how do we make and maintain peace. If blessed are the ones who are makers and maintainers of peace, for they will be recognized as children of God. If we're going to be recognized as children, how do we do it? How do we make and maintain peace? How do we do it? Number one, we choose the spiritual mindset. We choose the spiritual mindset. It is so hard to do that. It's not like, okay, I raised my hand last Sunday at Oak River, and so now, forever and ever, I'm going to have the spiritual mindset. I wish it was that easy. It is just not. I feel like every day, multiple times throughout my day, I come to a T in the road. Have you ever come to a T? You can't go forward. You have to go right or you have to go left. You could go forward, but you go into a field and it would be a problem, right? Many times throughout our days, we come to a T and God is saying, are you going to choose the spiritual mindset or the earthly mindset. Or if you prefer, we can go crazy and have the spiritual mindset be left instead of right. We always, okay, don't want to go there. Choose the spiritual mindset. In Romans 8, 5 and 6, it says this, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. If you come to the T and in one direction you see something that only benefits you and doesn't benefit anyone else, that should be a major red flag, like with lights flashing. Those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. I think we have to ask ourselves on a regular basis, we have to look at the end in mind. Does that make sense? We have to look and we have to say, okay, what's that going to look like if I take that path? And then what's it going to look like if I take this path? And then we have to make the decision with the end in mind. Not even including our feelings. Not thinking about our feelings right now. Just what is it going to look like if I go down that path? Believe me, there were times in junior high and high school where I would think, if I go down that path, I am going to get in trouble. My parents are going to bring down some rain fire on me, right? And that would keep me from going down that path because I would think about what the end result of that decision was going to be. I am forever grateful to parents who are willing to bring down rain fire to help me understand consequences early in my life. To help me go, wait, if I go down that, I knew I would never lose their love. That was not part of the equation. I knew they would love me. I knew they would support me. I knew they, but I knew they would make my life uncomfortable if I choose that path. We have to rise above some things in our lives. And we have to ask ourselves, okay, if I'm going to be intentional about making and maintaining peace in my life, and by the way, we need to be able to do that if we expect to be dispensers of peace. If we can figure out how to make and maintain peace in our lives, then we're ready to carry it with us. Okay? But it requires intentionality. It doesn't, there's no magic pill. There's no magic formula. It's a whole lot of daily decisions. Moment by moment decisions. Listen, peace, here's some things I've learned. Peace does not come when I'm trying to control someone else. That's a path I've tried many times to go down. And every time I go down that path, there is a sudden vacuum of peace around me. Like I cannot find it. Where did it go? There is no peace in trying to control someone else. Listen, I'm happy if I can change myself with God's help. Much less, who do I think I am that I can change someone else? Father in heaven, no, I can't do that. I lose peace the moment I start down that path. I also sometimes lose peace when I go on Facebook. Not always, but sometimes. And so I'm having to figure out, today is not a good Facebook day. I'm going to stay away from Facebook today. Not a good day for me to be on Facebook. Please, can we stop putting mangled pictures of bruised ankles and broken limbs? And I don't need to see that. I will have compassion for you. Honestly, I will, but I don't need to have that image in my mind. Don't need it. certainly don't need ongoing political comments. Some of us think that because the media is so biased, it's our God-given responsibility to go on and try to balance the scales on Facebook. Not gonna work. Trying to change someone, lack of peace. It just doesn't work. It does the opposite. It riles people up. Facebook wars can get nasty. Like, because you're not talking to someone across the table with a cup of coffee in your hand, and so your fingers just go crazy. Like this, you know? I told someone this week, my backspace button on my computer is almost worn out. Because I'll be like, ooh, and then I'll be like, backspace, backspace, backspace. This does not lead to peace, Sandy, stop. This is not a path to go down, right? Choose the spiritual mindset. Don't choose what you can see with your eyes. Choose the spiritual mindset. We do this by keeping our eyes fixed on the invisible one. What? That doesn't even make sense. I know, but it works. Number two. Ooh, this one's tough. Okay. Number two. Are you ready for this one? This is like a truth bomb. Evaluate the wisdom. But wisdom is in quotes. Evaluate the wisdom. It does not make you a judgmental person to try to evaluate the wisdom someone's trying to dispense to you. It doesn't mean you're trying to change them. It means you have a God-given ability to filter out what is not good so that what is good can come in. There's a whole lot of us, I will include myself, we think we are so wise. We think we have it all figured out. If only the whole world would do what I told them to do, everything would be fine. Right? It would be a mess. You or me, it'd be equally a mess. Evaluate the wisdom. If you ever hear something, if you ever hear someone talking to you and they're trying to dispense their wisdom to you, it might be. Here's the litmus test right here. Mark it down. James 3, 17 and 18 in the Passion Translation. Here's the litmus test. This is really, really good. But the wisdom from above is always pure. Always pure. Pure. You know when something's pure and when something's not. God put it in you. He gave you a new heart, a soft heart that's responsive to his ways and responsive to his understanding. And when you hear something, you know inside whether it's pure or not. You know. The second part of the litmus test, filled with peace. If after you talk to someone who's trying to give you peace, you walk away and all you feel is, it might not be wisdom from above. Might not be. Probably not. Consider it. It goes with the last verse we just shared. Okay? Remember, the spiritual mindset is not always just thinking about what's best for only me. It's thinking about what's best overall from God's perspective, right? Wisdom from above is considerate. Considers someone else first. Considerate. And this is a big one for me. Teachable. Are you teachable? How do you respond when someone says, you know, I don't think that's really the best way to do that. And you're on this, I'm in a position of leadership over you, and I have a heart to love you, and I just don't think you're shining like you could shine doing this. How do you respond? You go, I want to be teachable. I want to live in such a way that God's wisdom has space to get in my fat head. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to live in that way. If there's someone that I respect, that I believe, even if they're not, quote, in leadership over me, but if I know they have my heart, and they say to me, Sandy, I'm worried about this, I want to stay open to what they're saying. I want to stay open and not shut them down immediately because I don't want to listen. Wisdom from above is filled with love. It's filled with love. You can tell when someone confronts you in love and when they confront you in something else. You can feel the response. Never displays prejudice or hypocrisy in any form. I'm telling you, if we can figure out how to live like this, people will be beating down the doors to come and be part of our family. They will. Because it will stand out so uniquely and so different. People will be beating down the doors to come and talk to you in your home. They'll be talking to you at work. How can you have such peace? This is chaos right now. How can you have peace? What is going on? Then you respond in love without prejudice, without any hypocrisy. You just respond authentically and they will listen. Wisdom from above always bears the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted. Now let's pause there. Good seeds of wisdom's fruit. So you know what that tells me? There is a process that has to be, that you have to go through to figure out how to bear wisdom. There's a process. It's the seeds of the fruit. So that's a process. That's not like, okay, here's a peace plant. Now you can just pick all the fruit off of it you want. No, go plant that sucker. Wait for a while. Water it. Get the weeds off of it. Wait for a while. Water it. Take care of it. Prune it. Wait for a while. Eventually you'll get some fruit. Eventually. And then you'll have some seeds in that fruit that you can plant. And when you do that, good seeds of wisdom's fruit will be planted with peaceful acts by those who cherish making peace. You see, peace is an outcome there of wisdom. It's like a result of wisdom, of God's wisdom. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes I feel like I've gone through seasons in my life, for sure, where all I did was plant. Plant, 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 plant. And I'm like, exactly how long does this harvest take? You know, seriously, I'm being real with you. There have been seasons where I'm like, I don't see 1 ounce of fruit from all this planting I've been doing and doing and doing and doing and doing. And God just says, keep going, honey. You're good. Keep going. Keep going. And then, oh, I love that phrase too that says, the beautiful harvest of righteousness. Woo, the beautiful harvest of right living. That is awesome. Number three, pursue. Do you see the intentionality in that word? Pursue the valuable. Pursue the valuable. Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy. And he's teaching him what it means to be a minister. What does it mean to be a leader in the family of God? What does it look like? And this is one of the things he says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue chase after, be intentional about, run towards righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. We'll pause there. There have been so many times when I will have music on, or I will be watching a YouTube video, or I will have something on TV, and I feel like God is like, turn it off. And it's not because he rejects me if I don't. It's because he's saying, run away from that. You're not going to like where it takes you. And there's an intentionality that has to take place where I say, what does repent mean? Repent means to turn and go the opposite direction. To change your mind about something. It's not this ashes thing that we've made it into. It's not that. It's I'm going to not pursue that, and I'm going to pursue this instead. There is such beautiful peace that comes when you do that. And then the second part of this verse is equally important. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You know, I am so grateful that we live in an age where people understand that you don't have to go to church to be saved. I am. I'm truly grateful for that. The danger in it is that we forget how valuable it is to have companionship with people who call on the name of the Lord with pure hearts. I can tell you, I could take you through my high school days, through my junior high days. I could tell you the names of friends that I knew would spur me in one direction and the friends who would spur me in a different direction. And it was a process figuring out, I really like hanging with them because they have a lot of fun and they seem so loosey-goosey and it's fun. And my home was pretty structured, so loosey-goosey was pretty attractive to me, right? But I had to figure out, that's going to take me down a path. It's going to be problems for me later. You see, and at some point, it wasn't even about my parents and what they would do. It became about what I knew would happen in my life because of choices that I was making. I can't stress enough how important it is to enjoy the companionship of people who call on the name of the Lord with pure hearts. I am so grateful for friends in my life that I know I can be with, and I will, after spending time with them, I will have more faith, more peace, more love, more kindness. I know, like, it doesn't matter what we're going through, it doesn't matter what's happening in the world, if I have coffee with them, if I have dinner with them, if I play a game with them, there's going to be love, kindness, and peace that increases, faith that increases in my life. You see how intentional that is? That's very intentional. It's not about earning. Don't confuse me here. It's not about that. It's about cashing the check at the bank. That's all. And then number four, practice, practice, practice. Psalm 34, 12 through 14 says, do you want to live a long, good life, enjoying the beauty that fills each day? Nah, I'm good. I'm good, Sandy. No. I don't think so. I think all of us would answer that question with a resounding yes. Do you want to live a long, good life, enjoying the beauty that fills each day?
Yes.
Yes. Nah, I'll stay miserable, thanks. Sometimes it seems like that, doesn't it? Sometimes I feel that myself. I'm like, Sandy, what is your problem? That's why I said practice, practice, practice. Then never speak a lie or allow wicked words to come from your mouth. Keep turning your back on every sin and make peace your life motto. Peace without the weed. Peace. Some of you got that. Hippies, peace, but not the God. Now we got it. Okay, now we're cooking with gas. All right. Make peace your life motto. Make peace your life motto. When I'm faced with a situation, I have a choice. Am I going to choose peace or not? It's a lot inside of us. It really is. A lot is here. It's here. Joyce Meyer, is it called The Battlefield of the Mind, I think is the book she wrote. That's pretty significant. And then I love this. Practice being at peace with everybody you agree with. Oh no, wait, it doesn't say that. Practice being at peace with who?
Everyone.
You mean the Democrats? You mean the Republicans? Yeah. Practice. It does take practice. Figure out a way to be at peace. See points 1 through 3. With everyone. You see, if love is the overriding factor, if I value you as a person more than I value my opinion, I will figure out how to live in peace with you. It was so interesting. I saw this little 10-minute blurb about this experiment they're doing across the country. They're basically going into some communities. I think the one I heard about was in Cincinnati, actually. And they're bringing together about 20 different people who have extremely diverse beliefs. Not just religious beliefs, but that's included, but also political beliefs was the main focus. Then they put them in the room for like 40 hours, at like 8 hours a day for 5 days. And they gave them some basic ground rules. I wish I knew what they were because I really would like to have those. For my own heart, I would like to have those. They gave them some basic ground rules and they said, okay, talk. And when one of them would violate one of the rules, the moderator would go, wait, that's not what we're supposed to do here. You speak your heart, you speak your peace, but don't try to change someone else. Don't try to blast someone else's opinion. Don't cut them down. You just speak. And it was so interesting because they interviewed several people from very different backgrounds after it was, and they were like, wow. They said, my opinions haven't changed, but the way I see the other side has changed dramatically. Huh. That's what we need. This is what we need. It was interesting though, because at the end of the report, the guy who brought the report to the major news network channel, I don't even know which one it was now, he said to the three anchors sitting at the table, he goes, but there was one thing that the whole group was unanimous in agreeing on. And they were like, what? What could they have possibly agreed on? And he said that the media stirs up hatred. That the media stirs up division. And so the one lady, it was cracking me up, because the one anchor was like, oh, that's good. So you need to remember that you're not in an echo chamber. Wait, he said the media, you're part of the media, and you turned it around and said, you? No, how about we? And I include myself, okay? I include myself in this. If we're going to figure out how to practice being at peace with everyone, we've got to figure out how to listen more than we talk and love greater than our differences. Love that's greater than, don't write people off. It goes back to what I said last week. This is my purse pink. Still the same purse this week. I'll probably change soon. This is my purse pink, not my pink purse. This is my purse pink. In other words, this is a human being. She might have different feelings than I do. She might have different beliefs than I do. But put that after the fact that she's a person who's cherished by God. practice, practice, practice. And when you fall down, get back up again and practice some more. Don't beat yourself up. Oh, I can't do this. This is impossible. Forget it. Can't do this. I fall down, but I get up again. Luke 7:50 to conclude. Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith in me has given you life. Now you may leave and walk in the ways of peace." We're going to have communion today, so I want to invite the ushers to begin passing out the elements for us. If you would just hold them, though, we're going to take them all together. Because I believe today as we take communion, God is inviting us to go in peace. To walk in the ways of peace. It takes practice. It takes intentionality. And it takes a lot of letting go. But it's possible. And so I just want us to ask ourselves as we hold the elements in our hands, ask ourselves, what is God asking me to let go of? What is God asking me to pursue? What is God asking me to turn away from? Thanks. And what is God asking me to go after? If I'm at a T, what's in one direction? What's in the other direction? Because I can't go both ways. So just ask yourself, I'm asking myself, God, what is it you want me to let go of? What is it you want me to chase after? How do I partner with you being my peace? How can I be intentional this week about increasing the peace level in my life? I feel like maybe there's somebody here that You've been really frustrated lately. Really, your frustration level has been very high because you just desperately want someone that you love to change. And it's from a pure heart. It's the right motives. You just love them and you want them to walk in total freedom. But God is asking you to let go. To entrust that person into his care. And then I feel like there might be somebody else here who you've been asking, what if, and you're filling it in the blank with the worst case scenario. What if this happens? What am I going to do if this happens? And I believe God wants you to stop asking what if. Or if you're going to keep asking it, change the outcome to what if the best thing happens? And you're going to see a dramatic increase in peace as you intentionally make that step. You're going to see a dramatic, like you're going to be amazed. Your sleep is going to increase and your joy is going to increase dramatically as you do that. You're going to be snoring like the baby over here. I love that. You're going to be so relaxed that you're going to snore in a good way. This is only possible because of what Jesus did for us. That's the only reason it's possible. So I don't know what your thing is. I know what my thing is. I need to work on. I want to pursue. I want to get intentional about. But none of it would be possible except for Jesus. So Jesus, we thank you for allowing your body to be broken so that ours could be whole. We thank you for answering the question forever that peace is available. Peace is available. God, I just thank you so much for the sacrifice of your Son that we can have peace with you. And so we bless this cracker that represents your body, Jesus, and we say thank you, and we take it together. And for this juice, God, we thank you for this juice that represents the blood of Jesus spilled, the perfect sacrifice, once and for all, that was made, that we don't have to live with a lack of peace. We can walk and breathe in peace and breathe out peace. That our peace with you, because of the shed blood of Jesus, now makes it possible for us to be carriers of peace, to be makers and maintainers of peace. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you. Let's take the juice together. I want to go back to that first verse. Matthew 5:9. Blessed, spiritually calm with life joy and God's favor, are the makers and maintainers of peace. For they will express his character and be called the sons of God. I bless you with that as a benediction. Blessed are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will be recognized as children of God. Next week, Dave is going to pick it up, the pieces of peace, with a message he's calling misunderstood. Yes, if you could give your little cups to one of the ushers, that would be very helpful, because if we leave them on the floor, they get ground into the carpet, and it's kind of hard to get them cleaned up, okay? Thanks, Willie. Oh, Willie.
Oh.
It's all good. It's all good. Next week, Dave, the pieces of peace, it's going to be really good, misunderstood. And then all the ladies who are going to the castle retreat on Friday, if you could meet Stephanie over here right now for like a 5-minute meeting. She wants to give you some important details that you need to know about going. It's going to be awesome. So thank you. Be blessed. Have a great week. Love you very much.